Welcome to another episode of What's the Point? I am Nathan Birch.
And I am Patrick Kenoy, and we are coming to you live from Margaritaville.
Hence the song.
Is Margaritaville, are we in Lake of the Ozarks, or where exactly is this place?
Yeah, that beautiful lake right out there is the Lake of the okay. Ozarks.
But that doesn't mean that we're in the Lake of the Ozarks, does it?
Oh, that's correct. I could be wrong about this. I don't think that there is a lake, like a town called Lake of the Ozarks. I think there's like, I don't think. So like, I don't know where, was this Camdenton maybe? Osage Beach. We're in Osage Beach. Okay. There's a Camdenton. There's a Rocky Mount.
I see.
You haven't lived till you've been to Rocky Mount.
No, I guess I haven't because I've never been there. But why are we in Margaritaville?
We are in Margaritaville. For the 2024 MAESP Principals Conference that takes place here over the next 3 or 4 days. And we are here for, both of us are presenting a couple sessions. We are got some learning going on. So it's going to be a good weekend of learning.
And I think before we get into the learning that we have been participating in and the hopefully, you know, teaching, facilitating that we will be doing tomorrow, which is Monday, the 4th of March, we are also here, ladies and gentlemen, because our wonderful co-host, Dr. Birch, is being recognized as a Missouri Distinguished Principal. Dr. Birch, Nathan, was nominated by someone.
You. And, I was nominated by Dr. Kenoy.
Yes, yes, yes. And Nathan was selected to represent the entire St. Louis region of principals. And I think there's 10 or 11 regions in our state. And so, Nathan, how's that process been?
It's been fantastic. So there are 10 of us nominated total. Really amazing educators. We got a chance yesterday to kind of spend some time before there was a recognition banquet. So we got some time to sit around and talk with some of the principals from the other areas. And it is always impressive when we come to events like this, the level of professionalism and like just genius that educators have of things that they are doing inside their buildings and the work that they're doing. I also have to say, like, I am being honored this year, but last year, Dr. Kenoy, you were in my same position.
Yes.
So how was your experience last year when you were recognized as the distinguished principal from the St. Louis area?
Very similar to yours. I will say that I was stressed quite a bit during the conference
because
the first night you get interviewed and you're here before everybody else and then just a little worry and whatnot. So I knew coming to this one that I was going to be very relaxed and just have a good time focusing. But just like you, though, Nathan, the people that you meet, that you are nominated with, they are really good people and principals, and I enjoyed getting to know them. Some of us have actually kept in touch since last year.
Which I think is a good segue into what we really want to talk about this episode is the ability to learn from each other as principals and the role that organizations such as, for us in Missouri, it's the MAESP, but really that's just the state branch of the National Association of Elementary School Principals, and the important role that they play in helping principals from all across the state and the country get together to learn. What are some sessions that you've been to or that you're looking forward to in the coming? Well, I don't know why you're smiling at me.
Because it's always great to talk about the learning that's taking place here in Margaritaville.
You're just so excited about that. Okay.
I am.
Your smiling made me think that there's something else.
No. Is it all right to smile?
It is scientifically proven it is good to smile.
Okay.
It improves your health.
Then I'm glad that must explain why I'm healthy.
You are.
Individual. So there were a number of session offerings this morning. The first session was at 9. The second session, I believe, started at 10:30 or 10:45. And then
that's the schedule, yes.
Yeah, I'm just letting people know that there's an abundance of sessions to attend. So my first session dealt with essentially being the leader of hope, which is also the conference title this year. So that was nice hearing these two administrators from the Kansas City area talk about their experiences bringing hope to their staff. And one of the ideas that they had, which I've thought about doing for a long time, but never done it, but they actually have, is a beginning of the year retreat with their leadership team. Just always seems like something that would be really neat to do, but then I never sadly get to it.
I'm curious where, I did not go to that session, so where did they do the retreat at? Was it at a different location at their school? Or
it was at a different location. I feel that they, if I remember correctly, they had done these previously at the school, but that's not really the whole idea of a retreat, right? But it's to get away from campus. And so they had a few areas in the Kansas City area that they went to.
That's great.
Yeah.
My first session was leveling up behavior, leveling up discipline. I can't remember the last one. And it was really helpful. I wasn't really sure what to think of when I was going into it, but essentially they talked about the idea that we spend so much time talking about social skills that we want kids to learn that we don't build academic skills as part of our behavior and how kids are. And if you think about, they spend the majority of their day in school engaged in academic tasks, we should teach them some of those skills. So it was a really great session and getting some really meaningful things that I could go put into action right away.
Such as
one was thinking about how we, so like at my school, we have core values. So we have our five core values. Almost all of them, maybe a couple you could find connections, but around social behavior, right? So we talk about how we want kids to behave, how we want kids to treat each other, those things, which is incredibly important. But we don't have any focus on any academic skill that we intentionally teach, draw attention to, call out when we see it, model, such as things like self-monitoring, self-reflection, the idea of grit, those pieces that can lend themselves to success, I would say both socially, but also mainly academically, where kids are aware of, if I want to be successful in school and later on in life at my job or whatever it is that they go on to do, these skills that they need to have. We may teach a lesson here and there on growth mindset, but we don't consistently come back to that idea in the same way that we would when we talk about kindness. And so they just have kind of shifted the way they did it. Not that they stopped teaching those things, but they kind of shifted their focus to make sure that they were drawing attention to and teaching into and recognizing students who were doing those things also, to help kind of assist with just in school, what are the habits that we're seeing kids do inside the classroom?
That's good. That's really interesting too, because you know, we don't often hear of teaching a student, if you will, how to be a student.
Correct.
Right? Yeah. How to think, how to learn, help them strategize what is the best way for them to learn. And then also in the same token, you know, learning isn't always easy. Right. And you talked about that grit, you know, how to instill that in people, because I don't think as a student I was ever taught those things.
No. And I think, and I don't know if it's a post-COVID thing or what, but I feel like the amount of anxiety that students have around specifically academic tasks is continuing to rise as we go along. So thinking about when we are taking assessments or whenever they do not have success their first time trying something in school, the big feelings that arrive out of that seem to be increasing over time. And so I think the only way you can approach that is by then teaching them skills to manage those and to understand the process of learning and their role in it and how they should, their mindset around that. The other good thing about that session was their theme of their, I guess they said of their whole school year, but the presentation itself was Mario Brothers. And I'm a big Mario Brothers fan. So I don't know, do you play Mario Brothers?
I do not
play. Have you Mario. Ever?
I don't think so.
Have you ever owned a gaming system of any sort?
Me personally, no. As a youth, we did not have that either. My son has had them.
Yeah.
But I never have.
Did you ever play with your son whenever on the video game system whenever he had it?
I did.
What games would you guys play?
It's so long ago. I don't remember, but I certainly don't remember Mario Brothers. Is that where there's a character Luigi?
Yeah, that's Mario's brother.
Oh, okay.
He wears green, and that's hence the Mario Brothers.
I see.
Mario wears red, and they the there's different variations of the game. Mario Kart. You ever heard of Mario Kart?
Is this any relation to Mario Andretti?
No, I'm same name. The video games are different, okay, though.
All right.
So, guys, if you want to comment on what the best Mario game is in the franchise, you can do that, and maybe Dr. Kinoy can start his gaming journey right here, right now.
So, yeah. Tell me about this. So, they had Mario Brothers as a theme.
It was just a theme, and it was like an 8-bit kind of like... the animations were kind of fun. It just was lively. I feel like they... I would give them 10 out of 10 marks for... The creation, the presentation part of their session.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. And you know, for session two, we actually ended up being
right next to each other.
The same session.
And that was memorable.
It was. Met some very nice people in the room. We were sitting next to, to my left was the principal from a surrounding district. And I'm not sure where the person worked that you were sitting
next. St. James, I believe.
Oh.
No, not St. James. That was somebody else. But we'll say St. James because that's not good. It's not a good podcast to argue with yourself. But we'll go with St. James.
And
Carthage. She was from Carthage. Okay, there wonderful. It is.
And that session dealt with school principals with the dual responsibility, if you will, of being a leader and also then being a building manager.
Yeah. And I really took away from it, they talked a lot about, they asked a question at the very beginning of, what tasks do you do on a regular basis that if you stop doing would create the biggest issue or would get called, like would be recognized first? And what I took out of that kind of exercise was, how do we prioritize? Sometimes we prioritize things that we think are important, or really, but they're just urgent, and they don't really matter. So how do you then prioritize those pieces to make sure that you are getting to the most important things first?
Yeah, I think that that was one of my big takeaways from that opening part as well, because they had the whole list of maybe 16 or so items. And one of the things that was just interesting being in that particular presentation is that both of the facilitators of that presentation were from small districts.
Yeah.
And so when they spoke about one of the items on the list was the purchasing of curricular materials, you know, which we don't do in our districts. And so that's a pretty neat component of these statewide sessions, in that there's a lot of similarities. If there's a school district of 400 people or a school like you and I work out of 400 children. In many sense, I feel that those administrators have a lot more responsibilities than we do.
Not just more responsibility, but nobody to call and ask,
right,
how in the world do I do this? Things that, like, and I was having this conversation with another principal afterwards, which is, as a side note, we'll come back to this, another benefit of conferences like this, where it's the sessions themselves are meaningful, but then oftentimes it's the conversations afterwards where you're kind of processing it. But in that session, they talked about, it was a smaller school, right? And they had just gotten phones in their classroom.
Yes.
And so for us in larger school districts, we've had phones forever, right? That is just part of our lives. And so it's just interesting when you get here and you can start to hear kind of the differences in areas and how their school day may look different, or their resources may look different, or how they do things may look different than what you do in your own school building.
So I think one of the common themes that is emerging from just our conversation is that we feel it is important for administrators
to have phones.
Yes, to have phones, but also to attend this conference.
Yes. Yes. But why do you feel that way?
Why do I feel that it is important?
Yeah.
Well, a few of the things we've just alluded to, networking with people, not only from the entire state, with people from outside of the St. Louis area, but even the St. Louis area is kind of a big area, and so you don't always get to see people. I think it's good to hear what other people do with situations that you may have been dealing with in your role as a principal. I've always found that to be interesting. And then just to hear ideas of what people are doing in their schools, because so often we get just caught up in the day-to-day operations of the places where we work. And so hearing other folks and what they are doing is always enlightening.
Yeah, I find in these kinds of situations, whenever I'm able to do professional development with colleagues, oftentimes I'll go to a session or I'll go to a development and they'll talk about a topic where I'm stuck, right? Where I feel like in my building we've maybe tried something, or I want to try something where I see a problem, but I'm just stuck and I don't know like the path forward, or I don't know what success looks like in order to do that, or I'm having a hard time getting there. And then you hear somebody talk about how they achieve success in their class, in their school. And oftentimes the difference isn't even these huge drastic shifts in what you were thinking, but it's maybe an approach of how you lay it out, or a tool that you use, or a system you put in place to help you get there. And it creates a sense of, well, you know, they struggled with the same thing, they kept with it, and then they ended up on the other side at a successful place, which is encouraging, because it's also sometimes for me, I find it to be a kick in the pants of like things that maybe I'm dragging my feet on or waiting to start to really push on or to make movement on. And then when you hear other people are having success with it, it's a motivator to keep you, to get you started or to get moving on that journey.
Yeah. So day one is complete for the most part of our conference.
Well, we did have our keynote speaker.
Oh, yes, yeah. Yes.
Emeka Naka came and talked to us, and he was a gentleman who had a tragic accident in playing football, where he ended up paralyzed from his chest down. And his message was really around hope, about hope isn't what happens to you, it's what happens inside of you, is one of his kind of key, one of the things he said that I really walked away with. And I think just the idea that, you know, in life we get to make our choices of where our hope is, how we can do that, what our goals can be, and not letting our circumstances stop us from achieving those goals. So it was a really powerful speech.
Yeah, he was very motivating because he talked about those periods of darkness that he had, and I would still go so far as to say, as every once in a while, I think he still does, you know, as all of us as human beings do, but his ability to focus on being a person of hope, having those beliefs in himself, those pathways to hope. And what was that first element that he had talked about?
Goals.
That's it.
Goals, yes. Plus pathway.
Plus belief.
Belief equals hope. Hope,
yes.
Yeah.
I had never heard that before.
No. So you are presenting tomorrow.
I am.
If for all of our What's the Point listeners out there, Dr. Kinoy and Dr. Michael Wheeler are going to present their, it's not Lessons with Lasso. That's not the it's the same, it's Ted Lasso stuff, but it's no longer Lessons with Lasso, is it?
It's very similar. It's Leading with Lasso, unlocking unlimited possibilities. And Michael and I are delivering that tomorrow at 8:15 a.m. in room 74/75.
This podcast will not be out in time for you to know to go there. But if you want to get a time machine and go backward in time, that's where it'll be. But this is my question to you, Dr. Kinoy.
Yes.
Why do you take that? They pay you nothing to do this. Why do you take the time to be a presenter at conferences like this? I know the answer, but I want to hear you say it. Why do you take the time to do those things, to present, to put, there's a lot of work that goes into organizing and preparing for it. What's your motivation for doing that?
The biggest motivation, to be quite truthful with you, Nathan, is a selfish load, to be quite honest with you.
I didn't see that coming. All right, go on.
I have found that by delivering this presentation and having to think about it, having done it, practicing it all of those good things that go with preparing a product that you're going to be delivering in front of people have helped me to grow as a person and as a leader.
Tell me more about that. How has that helped you?
It has helped me because I feel that it is very important to be intentional with what I am doing as a person and as a principal, and to have these guiding posts, these guiding lights, if you will, these North Stars to help me become the best version of myself. And I feel that with the Lasso lessons, we are able to apply very practical tips to principals in this case, teachers in other cases, other sorts of staff members in a school setting, and we're able to tie them in with the use of the character Ted Lasso, which a lot of people like. And so we're always pretty fortunate, I feel, Michael and I, because we're going into an audience where most of them already are very aware of who Ted Lasso is.
Yeah.
And so it's always a fun session because oftentimes it's a little different than mm-hmm. than other sessions. And, you know, we show clips from the show and people have the chance to think and talk about it.
They have copyright. They've looked into that, right?
Yes.
Yeah, you have licenses mm-hmm. to do all that.
We do. Yeah. Thank you for absolutely. Making sure you said that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So why did you think I did it?
Well, so I'm also doing a small
part of
a presentation with a lot of other people in the North thing. And I think I was expecting your answer to be similar to what my answer on that is I think that this is all in order for this community of professionals and principals to work, right? In order for these conferences to work and to be meaningful, people have to be willing to give their part of it, right? They have to be willing to share their pieces of it. I don't think anything that I'm sharing is necessarily like groundbreaking or like things that people are going to walk away and you know, it's going to change their school. But I think if we all kind of start to share these pieces, maybe one person gets an idea. In the same way that if the things that I, you know, I'll leave here from this conference with a laundry list of things, of ideas, of things that I may do, I may not do, but some of them I for sure will implement. And if that person didn't volunteer to give that session or to share their presentation or to share what they do in their school, I would never have that to then go implement at my school. There's really nothing that I've ever done as a principal that I didn't somehow steal from somebody else. And maybe I repackaged it or I changed it to make it fit our needs. But all the good ideas I ever had were never mine. There were other people's I've taken from. So I feel like we just kind of, it's part of our responsibility is to kind of help share that along too.
You are such an altruistic person. I guess I'm just a selfish person.
No, I wouldn't say so.
But I will say this. This is I've been a principal now for 10 years.
Is that all?
Yes.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Okay.
And up until this year, I've never presented at conferences before.
And now you're like everywhere.
This year has been a good year.
Yeah.
For it. Mm-hmm.
I was recently at a conference with Dr. Kino, and I watched him present along with it was around the Lasso stuff still, and he got done with it, and I was sitting at a table with other participants, and they said if he was my principal, I would get into so much trouble. And the person next said, well, why do you say that? And they said, because I would just go into his office, close the door, and tell him way too much. Because the way you present is very engaging. You have an ability to get people to put their guards down and to kind of think more big picture kind of thing. So I took that as a compliment towards you.
Nice. And I appreciated you attending that session.
Yeah.
And I look forward to attending your session tomorrow afternoon.
Yeah.
And what are you doing again?
So it's like a boom session. Are you familiar with a boom session?
No.
So there are maybe six of us presenting, 6 to 8 of us. I'd have to count it up. But we each have like 7 to 8 minutes. We picked a topic that we're going to share about. And so you share about your topic. And then there's a slide that says boom on it. Then the next person jumps in and presents there. So it's supposed to be quick hitting.
Is it all right to ask you what yours is?
Yeah, sure. I'm not going to give away all the secrets in case people do get that time machine and yes. come back and listen. But mm-hmm. It's around creating purpose inside of your school. Mm-hmm. So how do you get students and staff to identify what their purpose or what their interests are, and then how do we provide opportunities for reflection on that and ways to explore those purposes and things like that. So
you are doing that this year?
Yeah, so that's, I'll be talking about just the different aspects, really honestly, small things that we do that make a big difference, that allow kids and staff to be able to do that. Things like personalized PD, for allowing teachers to have some personalized PD. Things like creating student clubs, but you know, creating a structure for student clubs that offers teachers a chance to share their passions and allow kids to grow their own. Things like that, that, again, like, they're not groundbreaking things. These aren't things that I came up with. They're just structures that we put into place and what our experience has been around those things.
I do know that for the start of next school year, I'm taking the format that you used for the start of this current school year for my welcome back meeting.
Like the sessions?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what he's talking about is and I'm sure everyone, if you're a principal, you feel the same way. At the beginning of the year, you feel like you get staff into a room and you just talk to them forever about back to school stuff. We decided to split that up and spread them out around the building so that they have shorter, quicker sessions that they are able to learn about the things that we had to teach them about. So, and that's what I mean, is I think when principals get together and they're able to just to share successes that they have, I've probably told Dr. Kinoy 1,000 things that I've done in my school. He's not going to take all 1,000 of those things and implement on his, but maybe one of those things is something that strikes a chord with a need that he has, just like he shared things with me that I've taken and used in my building. So I think that that's kind of the power and the meaningfulness of when we all get together.
Mm-hmm. I will say I did steal your one thing video,
yeah,
which was came from these podcasts, our very first episode.
So hopefully you guys are able to steal some stuff that we share as well. The other thing I think is interesting in these types of conferences is when you have these national and state organizations, you start to learn more about the bigger picture of education in your state and hearing the struggles that maybe a rural school's having compared to what you're having, or a school in a different part of the state, so that you can see a bigger picture of how to advocate for education as a whole.
Yes. Being a member of the MAESP, you get access to, I believe the email is the Legislative Bulletin,
yeah,
which keeps track of all bills and either in the House or Senate that have an impact on education. And I know that as a former history teacher and political science major, I've always found that stuff very interesting, because those are the things that end up impacting all of us in our profession.
And you actually, am I okay to share this?
Sure.
Dr. Kinoy announced recently at this conference that when he retires, I don't know, how long do you have?
Oh, just a few years.
Yeah, that he is going to run for a statewide office.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Either state senator or state representative of his district, mm-hmm, which I think you would be fantastic at. What would be your education platform if you were a state senator?
Oh, my gosh. I mean, it would be all about ensuring the future of public education and access for our students to a high-quality education each and every day.
So you are built for this, Dr. Kinoy. Mm. I'm going to get the bumper stickers made. Kinoy, I don't know, what would the year be? 2028?
Perhaps. Well, that's a little too soon, but
2030?
Yeah, 2030.
If you guys would like, I can get shirts made, and I'll put a link in. We can get shirts made for Kinoy 2030.
Yes.
It'd be fantastic.
Yeah. Maybe a QR code. Take you to all my platforms and planks.
Planks. Do you have a website already made?
I don't.
I didn't realize you were this far along in the process.
But it's always important, you know, to have your platform has all your planks in it.
Yeah. Because without it, it would just be a boardwalk. Or
perhaps.
I don't know.
Dr. Birch, I don't know.
Any other takeaways from the conference you'd like to touch base on before we get going?
I do know that I've met a few people in previous years that I haven't seen yet at this particular conference, so I'm looking forward to seeing them. Looking forward, actually, in the evening time just to sit down and read a book and maybe do a little bit of work as well.
What book are you reading right now, Dr. Kinoy?
currently I'm reading a book on leadership by Nick Saban.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it's written when he was the coach of LSU.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
One other takeaway that I have from the conference, it's more just a gratefulness that the people that run these organizations are often sitting principals, and their work that they do while still running their building and doing the things they needed to do to lead their building, while also the extra work of these organizations, I think both at a state level and a local level, is really appreciated and something that I think oftentimes goes unnoticed. Yes. Or taken for granted.
I don't think they get enough credit as they do. Like the principal leaders of this conference, I mean, they've been in meetings all day.
Yeah. While also leading a school and doing all the other pieces of it. Mm-hmm. So, well, we appreciate you guys joining us again for another episode of What's the Point? We have some great episodes coming up, so make sure you subscribe and like, and thank you for joining us. Thank you, Dr. Kinoy.
Thank you, Dr. Birch. Have a great week, everyone. Wasting away. Let's...